But thank God for those that had the burden. And my brother was the one that had it for me. For he said he had been saved 4 months and he had prayed 4 months that when he came he'd have the right word. Think of that. Ah, brethren, it pays, doesn't it? He had prayed 4 months that God would give him the right word to say, and the right word was, did you ever think of eternity? He might have quoted dozens of other scriptures that wouldn't have affected, but when he quoted that one, it smote me. The Lord bless his word. I see the time I was taught to get down when I looked at the clock and it's gone.
2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord Jesus give thee understanding in all things. The Lord will bless what we've listened to and this present reading of his good word. In the month of July, AD 64, a huge fire broke out in the city of Rome. And it is said that the Emperor Nero at the time sat from an vantage point where he could see over the whole city. And he got himself a guitar and he started to sing with glee as he watched Rome burn. Word got around that Nero acted in such a way, and the heat became very severe. He became under a lot of scrutiny, and people were very suspicious that he was the one who caused the fire. So to turn the attention away from himself, Nero decided that he would blame someone else for that fire. And he blamed the Christians. And so the attention was deflected off of him and placed upon the Christians. And they were the ones who began to feel the heat of persecution. And through all of that, many of the believers suffered martyrdom, suffered imprisonment. They were ill-treated, as we were hearing in the Bible study this morning. There was great affliction among God's people. And the writer of this very book from which we read finds himself in prison. Life is miserable. He's a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in a dungeon. In a very few short months, his head is about to roll. He's going to give us life. His days are numbered. He takes paper and pen in hand, and he's going to write. Who would you write in a situation like this? You have many friends. You have many associates. There are many good young men out there. There are many good elderly men out there. There are people who have stood beside you thick and thin. Who would you write if this was your last letter? And how would you write it? The apostle, guided by the Spirit of God, begins to write to a young man His name's Timothy. And how is he going to address Timothy? As you read throughout this last epistle that the apostle wrote, you'll find him pressing upon him the urgency of the values of the things of God. He calls it a deposit in chapter 1. And now and in chapter 2, he presses upon him the Christ style of the true child of God who wants to live for him. He says it's not easy. You are going to suffer hardships. And in fact, he says, Timothy, you're going to be enlisted into the army of God, and you are going to become a soldier of Jesus Christ. A soldier? That's for people who are masculine. That's for people who are strong. That's for people that are very determined. And if you were dealing with some of the ones that we deal with, you would call him a homeboy. I mean, it would be somebody who was on the street, somebody that was used to the rough life. Is that who Timothy was? Was Timothy one of those men who stood around the street corner looking for trouble? No. As you find in the scriptures, Timothy was a timid man. He was one who was very backward, soft, gentle, yet a soldier of Jesus Christ. And for this man to be a true soldier, he needed strength. He needed to be able to stand up for what was right. He needed to have deep-seated convictions. He needed to know where his feet were planted. And as a soldier, he was one who had to depend upon another's leadership. He was a soldier of Jesus Christ. For this reason, the apostle turns to Timothy. He calls him my son. There's a number of different ways in which this believer is looked upon in this chapter. 7 to be exact, that I know of. The believer is called a son. The believer is called a soldier in verse 3. The believer is called an athlete in verse 5. He's called a husbandman or a farmer in verse 6. He's known as a workman in verse 15. He is seen as a vessel in the house in verse 21. And down in verse 24, he is seen as a servant. But here the apostle brings to Timothy, to his mind, that he is now a soldier. And as a soldier, he needs the strength. And where is he going to get it? Therefore, my son, be strong. Now, the idea of that, be strong, is not for him to summons the strength from within himself. It's not something that one does as he musters his strength together. And he stands up and he lets everyone know that I'm strong. No. This is one who is humbled. This is one who has felt his own weakness. And yet the strength that he's receiving is something that comes from another. It's the idea of being strengthened. In other words, Timothy, he's telling him, Timothy, you enjoy the strength that God can give you. And so where is the fountainhead of such strength? Look at what he says there. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, he says that little preposition in is the means of strength. It is the power in which he's going to receive. It's in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You notice what we read today in Hebrews chapter 13? In verse 10, I believe it is, that your hearts may be established in grace. He wrote that to a people who are vacillating.
to a people who were being cast about with the many strange dark doctrines that were being perpetuated there in that place. And he was calling forth to those, he says, listen, let your hearts be established. Where? In grace. And that's the reason why Paul says, I will not frustrate the grace of God. Why? Because the grace of God is so important, so imperative for the soldier of Christ. As I thought of this, be strengthened in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. My mind went to the wars of the Old Testament. It's interesting to me that in the Old Testament, those battles were literal battles. I mean, that was flesh against flesh. That was sword against sword. That was shield against shield. And though those people, they went into battle and they fought for their lives. And they realized one false step, one miscue, and it's over. And somehow or another, we have adapted this spirit when it comes to the spiritual warfare. That we can slip and slide and just kind of slander our way through life and think it's all going to be all right. No, this is deadly warfare. But my mind went to this. If you turn to Exodus in chapter 15, the people of Israel have just crossed the Red Sea. They've been saved by a miraculous hand, the power of God, rescuing them out from Egypt. And now they've come across and they came to that place of the Red Sea and they didn't know what to do. The Egyptians were pursuing them. Pharaoh, he thought he had them right in his grasp. He surrounded them as a net. And he thought, my, it's just a matter of just a few quick moments and they'll be gone. And the people of Israel, they're panic stricken. They didn't know what to do. But the word came to them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And sure enough, as we know, the Lord caused a miracle. And what happened? Those people crossed the Red Sea as on dry ground. And they went out on the other side. And then they started to sing. And they sang unto the Lord. And what did they sing? That the Lord is my strength and my song and my salvation. You know what else they said? The Lord is a man of war. Who fought that battle against the Egyptians? The Lord did. Who fought the battle to win us salvation? Our Lord did. And he triumphed gloriously. But you come over a little further into Exodus. You get in Exodus chapter 17, two chapters later, and you find another war. It's a war of Amalek against Amalek. And it's very interesting to see the context of that war. You remember the first part of that chapter? The Israelites are chiding Moses, and the Bible says that they're tempting the Lord. Why? There's no water. And you know the story how Moses was taken and he smote that rock and out from it, that rock came the waters, living water, to rescue that people. But it says there that the people chided with Moses and they tempted the Lord. And then what does the next verse say? Then Amalek came and fought against Israel. When did he come? When the people were chiding against Moses and when they were tempting the Lord. Then Amalek came. In our warfare, brethren and sisters, our Lord triumphed gloriously when it came to the victory of Calvary over our sins. But when it comes to the victory of the flesh, that's where our warfare comes in. It's a battle that's not won with a fist.
It's a battle that's not won with guns or with swords or spears. But it's a real battle. Paul says in 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, he says that our warfare is not in the flesh. But he says, even though it's not of the flesh, it's mighty in God. And what way is it mighty? What in whatever, in what manner is this warfare and this armor that God has given? In what way is it mighty? Well, he says it's the pulling down of strongholds. Or the casting down of strongholds, I believe it is. It's the idea of there's the pulling down and there's a casting down in that verse. And what is it? He's saying that everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God is pulled down and cast down through the spiritual armor that God gives us. And I believe 2 Corinthians in chapter 10 is a warfare in the mind. Because there the apostle says that we are to bring every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ. It's a warfare of the mind. And the mind has that desire to fight back. To even resist at times the proddings and the leadings of the Spirit of God. And the flesh comes in like a wave and seeks to control and seeks to manipulate and to monopolize us. And what happens? If we don't have that warfare going on, if we don't have the power, the armor of the spiritual armor that God gives us, and if we're not constantly pulling down and casting down and bringing every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ, then we're going to be the losers. If you go back to the story of Amalek, when they had chided with Moses, when they had tempted the Lord, and Amalek came to fight against Israel. What was going on there? I believe Amalek is a picture of the flesh. And when it comes to fighting the flesh and slaying the flesh, I said when they came out of Egypt, that tremendous enemy, that tremendous foe that the people had, they couldn't fight themselves. God had to win the victory for them. But when it came to fighting Amalek, what was the word that was given? Chooses out men to fight against Amalek. It was something that they had to do. Oh yes, they had to do it in dependence upon the Lord, on the Lord. Moses had to go to the mount. He had to hold that staff in his hand. And as long as that staff was being held up, what happened? The enemy was being defeated. But his hands began to droop. Amalek started to get the advantage. And that's the reason why Aaron and Ur came alongside and they steadied the hands of Moses. And together they strove, together they worked. And a great victory was won. The war against the flesh. Amalek. Listen to what happened to Saul a number of years later. Saul lamented, and he said these words, "The Philistines make war against me." That's Amalek. "And God has departed from me." Think of it. Saul had a charge. And his charge was to go and to destroy Amalek thoroughly and completely once and for all because of what Amalek did to the people of Israel when they came out of Egypt. And you know what Saul did? Saul partly obeyed. But Saul saved the life of the king of Amalek. And Saul saved the goodly portions of the cattle and of the lambs. Oh, he thought that would be great for sacrifice. Saul did not utterly destroy Amalek. And now Saul is being hunted
tormented in his mind and in his members. Why? Because the Philistines make war against me and the Lord has departed from me. How awful life would be as a Christian, dear brother, dear sister, if we didn't have the God of Israel as our defense, as our stay, as we war against the flesh. That's what Peter says. Peter tells us there in chapter 2. He says it this way. He says, you are a holy priesthood. And you go into the presence of God and you offer sacrifice, spiritual sacrifices unto the Lord. That's the going in. But in verse 9, he says, you're a royal priesthood. And what's that for? That's the coming out and to show and give praise, show the praise of what God has done in our life, how he translated us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He says, you go forth and you show. You're the royal priesthood. But to that very people, he says, abstain from flesh and lust, which war against the soul. Against what? Against the body? Oh, eventually it reaches the body. But it's the inner man. It's the soul. It's the very fiber, the very being where we live. He says there's fleshly lust, that war against that soul of yours. He tells Timothy, he says, Timothy, you be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We go just leave it there. Only to say this, that Timothy was chosen. He was enlisted into the service of the Almighty King. And as an enlisted soldier, he learned what it was to be a good soldier. You know what that word means? One who is gifted, qualified, a beautiful specimen of a soldier. And that was given to a man who is known for his duty. A man who is soft. A man who is gentle. But when it came to dealing with the flesh, he, as it were, he put his foot upon the neck of the flesh, and he slew it, and he destroyed it. The flesh that war against the soul. May God help us, as enlisted members of the army, as it were, of our Lord Jesus Christ, to be good soldiers of our Lord Jesus Christ. And with his help, we failed many times. But as we look into 96, with his help, to win victories against the flesh for us.